This episode is brought to you by Sterling Soap Company. Fellas, you've heard the phrase, look good, feel good, right? But why not add smell good to that too? That's where Sterling Soap Company comes in. First, Sterling Soap is 100% natural and has a wide variety of bath soaps, shave soaps, beard balm, lotions, and cologne. Second, there's a scent just for you. How about burgundy? Yeah, it's more than a color. The Sterling Soap folks blend natural essential oils with hints of mahogany, golden amber, and sandalwood. Or how about D503, an intensely masculine scent inspired by Legend by Mont Blanc. And third, you will feel good about the price. For just a little more than you'd pay at the grocery store, Sterling Soap will leave you feeling clean, refreshed, and ready for whatever's next. Give Sterling Soap a try today. Visit sterlingsoap.com. Hey, and welcome to another edition of This Day in Sports History. It's April 12th, and on this day in 1980, Ted Stepien bought the Cleveland Cavaliers, and during his time as owner, it was such a disaster that years later the NBA would institute a rule called the Stepien Rule. Stepien had been part of the ownership group of the Cleveland Indians in the 1970s, and he also owned the men's professional slow-pitch softball team in Cleveland. Side note, slow-pitch softball was huge in the 70s and 80s, but efforts to sustain professional leagues to support it failed within a couple of years. All right. Stepien had made his money as president of an advertising company, but having a lot of money doesn't always equate into having the acumen to run a professional sports team. Stepien's first questionable decision came early on when he hired Don Delaney to be the general manager of the Cavaliers. Delaney had no previous experience in professional sports, let alone basketball. Upon being asked by Stepien, Delaney apparently replied, "You want me to do what?" I envision it like that scene in the movie Major League when Indians GM calls Lou Brown, working at the Tire World at that point, to come coach the team.
"How would you like to manage the Indians this year?"
"I don't know."
"What do you mean you don't know? This is a chance to manage in the big leagues."
"Let me think it over, will you, Charlie? I got a guy on the other line about some white walls. I'll talk to you later."
Delaney was a business guy, and at one point was the manager of the professional slow-pitch softball franchise that Stepien owned. Delaney came in and started dumping players on the roster to reduce the payroll. Stepien was a very hands-on owner, too, and he quickly traded away Campy Russell, an all-star in 79, who averaged 22 points a game, and then he traded away Fitz Walker, who was dishing out 8 assists a night. He also traded away first-round draft picks, as if handing out samples at the mall food court, and it's not like they were getting quality in return. Roger Fegley from the Nets and Bill Robenzien from the Knicks, both were gone after a year in Cleveland. The Dallas Mavericks coach at the time was Dick Motta, who said he was scared to go to lunch, fearing he'd miss a call from Stepien trying to trade one of his top players away. And then there was the merry-go-round of coaches. At the end of the 81 season, Bill Musselman was fired, and Delaney, the GM softball coach, was hired as the head coach of the Cavaliers. He lasted through the first 15 games of the 82 season, winning just 4. Then it was Bob Kloppenberg, who coached 3 losing efforts, before Chuck Daly was hired. When Daly arrived to coach his first practice, he realized he didn't have enough players to actually conduct a practice. Daly did not make it to the end of the year either. He was replaced again by Musselman. The Cavaliers weren't great when Stepien bought them, but they got progressively worse. In the 82 season, the Cavaliers only won 15 games and were in the Eastern Conference cellar. And they had traded away their first-round picks in successive years. Since they were so bad in 82, they would have had the top pick. But because they traded it to Los Angeles, the Lakers picked James Worthy. At that point, the NBA league office stepped in and told Stepien that all trades now needed to be approved by the NBA commissioner. Stepien's intent seemed to be to have more white players on his team, in order to attract more white fans. But with an uncompetitive team on the court, Cleveland fans started calling their Cavaliers team the Cadavers instead. Stepien toyed with the idea of moving the team to another city. Those considered were Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Louisville, Memphis, and Toronto. And the move to Toronto seemed like a done deal at one point before falling through. Eventually, Stepien sold the team to the Gund brothers, and the franchise stayed in Cleveland. It's reported that Ted Stepien lost about $16 million in his three-year stint as owner because attendance was so bad. After the Guns bought the team, the NBA gave the Cavs additional first-round picks to help rebuild, and they instituted the Stepien rule that stated no team could trade away their first-round draft picks in consecutive years. Also on this day in 1954, Sam Snead and Ben Hogan played a Monday 18-hole playoff to decide the Masters champion. Tied at one over after four rounds, the two battled back and forth on the front nine. Snead dropped a 65-foot chip for a birdie at 10 to take a one-shot lead, and then took a bold swing at the par 5 13th, reaching the green in two, and then two-putted for birdie. He would never give up the lead after that. Despite making bogey at 18, Snead won his third Masters title by a shot over Hogan in the playoff. The Masters would not institute a sudden-death playoff format until 1976, and it wasn't needed until 1979. On this day in 1980, Milwaukee's Cecil Cooper and Don Money each hit Grand Slam homers in the same inning. They did it in the second in an 18-1 win over the Boston Red Sox. In 1979, Larry Nelson showed up to Augusta National to play the Masters, and then he realized he had forgotten his golf clubs. And in 1877, a catcher's mask was used in a game for the first time. Harvard's James Ting was the first to wear it after Frederick Thayer invented it. Thayer fashioned the mask out of a fencer's mask, and it became a high-demand item for baseball catchers everywhere. It appeared in the Spalding catalog a year later, and catchers all around the country began wearing them. And time now for today's non-sports Did You Know? Actress Elizabeth Taylor had very strict instructions for her funeral to start 15 minutes later than announced. The reason? She wanted to be late to her own funeral. That's all for today. I'll have more tomorrow on This Day in Sports History. This has been an original Thrive Suite production.
Hey there, Sports History fans.
We've got some exciting news to share with you. Six of our podcasts from the Sports History Network have made it to the final round of voting for the prestigious Sports Podcast Awards. Here are their shows and the categories. Historically Speaking Sports and This Day in Sports History are both competing for Best Sports Talk Podcast. No Nonsense Old School Weightlifting History is in the running for Best Fitness, Health, and Well-Being Podcast. When Football Was Football is up for Best Sports Documentary Podcast. Wrestling with Heels On has entered the ring for Best Wrestling Podcast. And Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing is fighting for the title for Best Combat Sports Podcast. Now, of course, we need your help to take home the championship for each of these awesome shows. All you gotta do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/vote. Cast your vote for your favorite shows, or better yet, all six of them. Again, every vote counts, and we got to show the world how much sports history really matters. So thank you for your support and making Sports History Network the headquarters for sports yesteryear. But again, don't wait. You got to go vote now. That's over at sportshistorynetwork.com/vote.